So we've got Martin Boyle, Becky Burr, Keith Drazek. Keith Davidson, Paulus Nirenda, Catherine Reynolds, Oscar Robles, Bill Semick, Dottis Box de Blanc. From ICANN we have Bart Buswinkle, Kim Davies, Christina, myself, and Bernie. And the apologies, we have Annabeth Lange, Eberhard Lisse, Vikam Pisana, Patricia Poblete, and Suzanne Seen.
Thank you. Are there any further apologies that anyone's aware of?
No. Who joined? Sorry.
Hi, this is Yap.
Hello, Yap.
Okay. No further apologies then?
No, not as far as I'm aware.
Okay. On my very short agenda for tonight, we just had a handful of items, confirmation of meeting notes, the review of the new documents that I think I'll ask Bernie to walk us through in a minute, and then I'm not expecting everyone will have read it and consumed it all at this stage, so I think it's a preliminary discussion after Bernie's walked us through that, and then any other business. With regards to confirmation of meeting notes from the last calls, I think we have had the notes from the 8th of April meeting circulated, but not yet from the 15th of April. Is that correct, Gabby?
No, I think, Bernie, didn't you circulate something last week?
Tell the truth, I've been doing so much stuff I don't remember, but I will check and make sure that those are out.
Okay. Has anyone got any comments on the 8th of April notes anyway? If not, I think we'll accept those as the notes from that meeting. And Bernie, perhaps if you could recirculate, because I don't appear to have got a copy of those notes, but recirculate, and then if we could get a link on the wiki site to those notes too, please, Gabby. Moving along, a review of Bart and Bernie's new documents. Bernie, do you want to walk us through it firstly?
Sure. Basically, this is the document that was circulated on Tuesday at the request of Keith. It's called ICANN ODR EWG Issues List V1.1BT, and basically is a recap of potentially significant issues that were identified in all those other documents that were circulated previously. Walking through, basically I just restated some of the core elements of the charter of the working group, listed the documents that were analyzed, ICB1 versus RFC 1591, GAC principles 2005 versus RFC 1591, IANA criteria for delegation 2010 versus RFC 1591, all delegations, redelegations, and retirements for which there was an IANA report versus RFC 1591 ICP1, and expected practices and key IANA board decisions relevant to the work of the DRDWG don't necessarily deal with a specific delegation, redelegation, or retirement of a CCTLD. We talk a little bit about probably what we should do, and I think we talked about this last week, is the working group needs to identify the elements it considers to be issues and to classify these into, we're proposing, extremely relevant, relevant, or possibly relevant. Merge all these lists. Make sure we detail exactly what we think are the issues with those items that are selected, and prepare a report for the Brussels meeting. Did I get that about right, Keith?
I think that's it. Yes.
Okay, so one of the last notes here is that we've only focused on what we think are could be classified as extremely relevant or relevant and have not dealt with the items that are potentially relevant. We'll be adding those in an annex to in the next version of this document. The next element is we keep having discussions about are RFC 1591 and ICP-1 policies or not, and given that I've been hip-deep in finding public statements regarding things, I thought I'd throw in the two that I found relevant to this. One of them is, of course, from ICP-1, and the other one is from the March 7th to 10th, 2000 Cairo board meeting. And that's more for information. All right, so how we've approached this, we've done this by sets of comparisons. The first one is, of course, ICP-1 versus RFC 1591, which was the first major document of a comparison that was sent to the working group. We've identified a few elements which we thought could be extremely relevant or relevant. First up is this document does not reflect any changes in policy affecting administration of delegations. There have been questions about that, and I guess the working group is going to have to figure out whether this is relevant or not. Item 3, changes in the ICANN-IANA policy will be made following public notice and comment in accordance with ICANN bylaws. Many people we've spoken to seem to have an interest in that one. Item 21, for adoption of procedures and policies for assignment of second-level domain names and lower-level hierarchies of names delegated to CCT and LD managers, subject policy guidance in this document. Again, back to the policy question in that one. Item 60, delegation of new top-level domains requires the completion of a number of procedures, including identification of a TLD manager with requisite skills, etc. And that is quite different from the previous one. Is it extremely relevant? I don't know. We're counting on you to have a look at that. Item 99, ICP-1 adds new language. Because of its responsibilities for the DNS, the IANA must be granted access to all TLD zones on a continuing basis, which was new. Some people seem to feel that's a change of policy. That's something for debate within the group. We flagged it as possibly extremely relevant. Item 102 represents significant variation in languages versus RFC 1591 relative to changes of delegations. So, again, something for consideration as a potentially extremely relevant case. Just as an example of the things we have not included in this list, i.e., things that we identified as only possibly relevant. Item 58, a new top-level domain is usually created and its management to a designated manager all at once is in RFC 1591, but there's no text in ICP-1. It's a difference. We felt that it was only possibly relevant or of interest to the working group. That's a recap of the things that seem to be significant and could be relevant or extremely relevant to the work of the working group. Are there any questions on this section?
No, Bernie, this is Bart. Just one point of clarification for the working group. Say this is just an example. Whether or not to classify anything as extremely relevant, possible relevant, or just relevant, that is the role of the working group in according to this methodology.
Yes, that is that. Any other questions? All right. next one up is the GAC principles. We picked up only two major items from that one. There seems to be in item two that the government should be the only one to ask for delegation in CCPLD, while in ICP1, RFC 1591, anyone could ask, so that's a change. And in item seven, there seems to be a requirement once a redelegation issue is settled within a country and the decision is made that ICANN or IANA initiate a delegation or redelegation procedure, which, of course, ICANN or IANA cannot on their own. Now, there is a question of interpretation whether final formal decision includes that all the paperwork has been filed. We don't know. We've put it there for your consideration. In this section of the text, an example of a possibly relevant from this section is item 5, in performing their functions, CCTLD registries are subject to applicable law, which is an extension of what we find in RFC 1591, and we classified as being possibly relevant for your consideration. And that would conclude all the elements that were picked up from the GAC principles. Are there any questions on these? Okay. For consideration by the working group, we are talking about Kim's document, which is the IANA criteria for delegation 2010. That was sent out before Christmas. We've had a look at that. We've only got three items that have been picked up as potentially being considered as extremely relevant or relevant, and that is 4.3, where it states the manager should be appropriately accountable to his community for which it acts as a trustee, which is appropriately accountable to his community is a new concept versus RFC 1591, so I guess the working group should look at that and decide the relevancy of that. In item 6.3, the domain manager must have the requisite authority to operate the CCTLD, the TLD appropriately. Which is again seems to be a bit of an evolution, and we think the working group should have a look at that one and make a decision. Item 7.2, appropriate level of skills should be based in the country so the domain can be capably managed locally. The sponsoring organization needs to be operated under local law with its administration based in the country, the minister's contact, etc. The appropriate levels of skills should be based in the country seems to be an evolution and might make this something that in its considerations the working group might want to classify as relevant or extremely relevant. And we've provided an example of what we consider the working group might think something that is only possibly relevant the notion of representing the internet community is new versus RFC 1591. It did not seem to be a significant issue, but there it is, regardless when we were looking at the differences. And that sort of wraps up the things we isolated on this one. For your consideration, are there any questions?
Again, Bernie, this is Bart. I think, say, the members of the working group should be aware that this document was provided just for the working group itself. So I think, and maybe Kim, you want to add something on the status of this document, say for the before we go outside of the working group, maybe we need to reconsider whether or not to include this in all the working group wants to include this in the report on the issues.
Excuse me. I think the point to make is that the U.S. Department of Commerce has made it clear that staff should refrain on making opinionated statements about how the IANA function is performed, and that's in line with the fact that, you know, they're concerned about their role as contractor of ICANN, and have asked us to be careful about statements that we make and that we get them checked with them first. So, obviously, Bernie has compiled this document at the request of the working group as a starting point, but just take that into context that it's sort of ultimately the analysis needs to be done by the working group members and not by staff.
Sure. Okay. Do we have anything else on this section? Kim, just as a clarification, maybe that would be useful. This document that we just finished talking about, you distributed to the working group before Christmas last year, has not been approved for publication anywhere by the MTIA?
No, it hasn't. Those two documents have been presented to MTIA asking for their authorization to publish. We would like to publish them to everyone once we get sort of sign off in principle. There's obviously still some work to be done on those documents. I don't consider them absolutely complete, but we're looking to get sign off on in principle on having them published to the wider community. And then secondly, as I shared with this working group earlier, at some point I developed my own issues paper about possible areas of concern about the way CCTLD delegations let me rephrase, the possible gaps in the policies that have a real-world impact on how we do assessments. And I shared that with MTIA last year, and I would like to share it with the working group at some point, but we're still working through that document. So the documents that I have shared, we intend to make more public at some point in the future, and those that I haven't been able to share yet, I hope in some capacity to be able to share what's in those with the working group.
Okay, so we should take away from that that unless IANA gets approval by the time we're ready to publish something from Brussels, that this document should not be part of the things we will publish.
Right. I think that's a safe thing to do.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so we're all clear on that. Done the homework, but if IANA does not receive a clearance to go, we'll just isolate that section out. Okay. Anything else on this section? Okay. Moving on. The next section are decisions of the ICANN board, which are relevant to the work of the RDWG, but not directly related to a specific delegation or redelegation or retirement. From September 2000, we have two things. The first one is sort of the going forward to establishing what were called the sponsorship agreements, probably anyone else would call contracts, exactly how that came about, which seemed to be a concern for some people. So we've got that flagged as potentially extremely relevant, and I guess the working group should look at that. The second element from that same board meeting was, of course, allowing elements from the exceptionally reserved ISO 3166 list to potentially be delegated. Again, that seemed to be slightly different than we would expect on RFC 1591. Did I hear a comment?
Well, I just wanted to give a comment to that. This is Jaap. And I mean, it says that needs a coded representation in the name of the country and so on. this really is a way of pulling .au into it, because that one has a special footnote which is kind of citated here as well.
Anyways, yes, there are elements to be considered.
I think it would be fair to say that 1591 is a little bit vague in terms of referring to the ISO 3166 list. It doesn't actually specify whether it's the whether that is actually a single list or whether it includes the reserve list and so on. So it may be an interpretation of policy by the ICANN board at that point, or may not. But anyway, yes, I think it is extremely relevant and something that we will need to grapple with.
Okay, the next item on this list is from June 2006 and is the wildcarding decision, which is extended to IDN ccTLDs. Given that the formal definition of IDN ccTLDs is in play, and there's a PDP currently in progress, the working group may wish to consider how to classify this element. And that's all I could find here. I don't know if there are questions. Okay, taking that as a no, we'll move on to the next section, which are delegations. From March 2005, we have the .eu delegation from the exceptionally reserved list, which is the follow-on decision from the one in the previous section. I don't think I need to go on with that one. They end up being a pair, and the working group may wish to consider them. The second one is the .me and .rs, where there seems to be some linking between the retirement of .yu and the delegation of ME and RS may be relevant. We've just flagged it for consideration by the working group to potentially classify it. And those are the only two elements on the delegation side. Are there any questions? Okay, moving along. We are now in the redelegation section. From September 2001, we have the first signed agreement with .au. Basically, I've listed the series of the other ones that I could find from .jp, BI, MWSDLA, KEAF, TW, UZ, UY, PW, TJ, MD, HT, and EU. So they all essentially look pretty similar. The only major difference is that in certain cases where the agreement was with a government or a government associated organization, that instead of a sponsorship agreement, it was an MOU. There were some minor variations within those, and they can be found in the detailed analysis. But anyway, I think the key one and the first one is the .au, and the working group should probably consider what kind of relevancy to its work it wishes to attribute to this one. After that, from the IANA report on October 2003, we have some new language which I thought was interesting. A trustee of the ccTLD does not have the ability to irrevocably transfer, delegate, or license out the rights to manage a ccTLD without itself maintaining ultimate responsibility. Is new language sort of makes sense, but it's different, so I thought the working group should consider it. And then there's some, again, some significantly new language, which sort of says that contractual agreements are going to be much better for the Internet. And I thought that the working group would like to consider how to classify that. Next, June 2004, redelegation of .ly. First time we hit something called a provisional redelegation. As a matter of fact, I haven't found it in the documentation anywhere else. So the concept of a provisional redelegation is new. The term seems apt. The conditions were probably coherent for something like that, but it is a completely new concept versus what we've got in RFC 1591 or ICP-1, so the working group may wish to decide how it wishes to classify this one. From July 05, we've got .z, and basically the main reason I put in the minutes from the board meeting there is that this is the only documentation regarding the shift from requiring sponsorship agreements with respect to redelegations versus not, and it's oblique at best. It's more of a pointer to a significant change, I've left it for, you know, and the change may be what the working group may wish to consider classifying in the end, but needed some sort of a pointer to refer to it. From July 2006, .gd, we've got no mention of any investigation of community support, which usually were very present in the IANA reports. We're not sure if this flagged a change or not, but thought we'd flag it here for the working group to have a look at and decide how they want to classify that. We come back to September 2007 with the omnibus resolutions for .me, .rs, and .yu when Yugoslavia was broken up. So the .yu domain is redelegated to the Serbian National Registry in a temporary caretaker facility. Again, a new term, which we don't find, which is the reason why it's there for consideration by the working group. We've never had the reference to a temporary caretaker on any of these. Then we are in November 2007 with .bb, and again, this is the first mention from Kim to the board that the IANA report. There are many versions of the IANA report. There's the IANA board report, and there's the IANA report, which is made public. I could not find any information about how those changes are made or approved from a board IANA report to a public one. So I thought that would be of interest for the working group to consider. Also, in the redelegation of BB, it was unclear compared to almost all of the other IANA reports the level of the local internet community support and technical requirements. So that one's flagged as potentially being relevant or of interest to the working group, and that they should have a look at it. The next one from January 2008.AE, basically what we've got is one of the board members questioning the application of support of the local internet community. So when there's a formal mention of something like that by one of the board members, I thought it was clear that the working group should consider it and decide if there is something there. February 2009.by. This is the first mention that board minutes will no longer contain any details of board discussions of redelegations. So that's a significant change, and we thought that the working group should consider this as to potentially being extremely relevant or irrelevant. In February 2009, also got .so, the Somalia decision, where there are a few interesting comments, including an exhaustive consultation with the current operators, probably not necessary, stated by the government. And there is background to support that, but it's quite different than language we've seen, and we thought should be considered by the working group. And finally, we get to December 2009 with the .co, Colombia redelegation. We don't see a lot in terms of board discussions because the board confidentiality rules are in effect. From the IANA report, we seem to find significant evolution from RFC 1591 and ICP-1 in the statements that cite secure and stable operation of the Internet's unique identifier system, excuse the typo, as the key objective. So we're uncertain how that is related to policy, but it's there. There's also reference to other informational memoranda, and we could not find a list of those or how they impacted. So we thought that would be interesting for the working group to have a look at and see if they want to classify that as relevant or extremely relevant. And that would conclude the section on redelegations. Are there any questions?
Bernie?
Yeah.
Couple things. One's just I wouldn't call it a typo, but maybe your spell check put in the wrong word where you talk about censoring and .bb.
Yes.
First yes. Mention of public IANA reports being censured, which is being punished. Or
oh, okay. All right, thank you. I'll
yeah.
take care of that.
And then on the readings that I've done of these reports, I've tried to separate them based on other criteria. Maybe we should talk offline about that. But basically, it appears that in many cases, the decisions, the recommendations and the decisions have been based on differing extensions of interpretations of RFC 1591. So there are cases where for a year and a half, a section of RFC 1591 is cited, and it's part of the decision. And then in another group of decisions for a year and a half, that section may be reinterpreted to mean something else. For example, things like in-country versus within-country versus there's about a year and a half where RFC 1591 is interpreted to mean the entities must be legally approved and operating under local law and using local policies and so on. And RFC 1591 doesn't actually go that far. And then in the most recent 2 years of recommendations, the reference to RFC 1591 in terms of local law and local policy decisions is excluded, and instead it's determined that ICON has ruled that these things are required. So I think it would be good to sort of find some structure to indicate how interpretations of the policy have also evolved.
Bill, that is great. I think we should remember here, staff is saying what it sees as the big items the working group may wish to consider and classify. But, I think what we're more looking for is the working group identifying things and making sure that we understand what the concerns are and that we present them properly so that the working group feels that whatever comes out is, in fact, a good representation of what their concerns are, and that's what's primary. So I'd be glad to have a chat with you about some of those things. I certainly understand them after having gone through all of this stuff, and we'll look forward to setting up a time we can have a chat about that.
Okay, you can do it via email first.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Well, there's one remark about caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the word also pops up in .li. And but I do remember that for a long time .tk also had a caretaker, which was actually Paul Fichte. And so maybe in some correspondence about .tk you might find what it means.
Okay, I'll thanks. Yeah, I'll have a look at that and make sure I have all the information. Yeah.
And we could always ask Paul Fichte himself, having been a caretaker for a couple of years.
Okay, maybe he's got some of the correspondence on that.
And yep. In fact, there's also, I think, Antarctica and, Antarctica, Peter Mott from New Zealand is the caretaker for that, CCTLD2.
Yeah, that's probably true, but I think Antarctica was delegated prior to ICANN, and that's probably why I didn't pick that one up.
Correct, yeah, no, it's a long, I think, sort of a 1990-ish delegation. But, again, Peter probably is more meticulous than most in terms of keeping records, so I could have a chat to him.
Okay, will do. Thank you. Any other points, thoughts, comments? Okay.
Sorry, hang on. Sorry, excuse me. I couldn't find my... remove the mute button. So it's Martin Boyle here. It was really a question about the decision made in the .by case that the board discussions would be considered confidential. Was there any explanation in that discussion as to why they were considered confidential? In particular, were the particular reasons for that case, or was this actually just a block statement that from now on they would be treated as confidential?
From my research on public documents, I could not find an answer to any of those questions, so I cannot inform you, which is one of the reasons why it's flagged for the working group.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tony.
Anything else? Okay, home stretch. People, hang in there just a few more minutes, and we'll be finished with this. And specific apologies for those where it's much later in the day. If you're keeping awake, bravo. Retirement deletions, whatever you want to call it, two decisions were flagged, the .um, which is the outlying Marshall Islands or something like that, and basically what we've got here is a fairly lengthy transcript from discussions at the board level, but of course what's interesting from this is the first removal from the root, at least from the ICANN documented section of it, is what I should say, about an active ISO 3166 code from the root. Also, there's mention of an ICANN consultation process for the revocation of CCTLDs, and we couldn't find anything more about that. And maybe, you know, it was something that was in effect at the time and just simply not documented in any significant manner. So that's for consideration by the working group as potentially extremely relevant or not. Of course, the underlying issue here is that there is no text regarding removal and deletions of CCTLDs in RSC 1591 and ICP-1. The next one is, of course, related to the breakup of Yugoslavia, delegation of ME and RS. And basically what we've got here is the board basically by decision resolution imposing a timeline for .yu to be decommissioned, which is a first, so that has been flagged for consideration by the working group as potentially something that they could consider relevant or extremely relevant. Again, here we provide an example of a thing that we considered only possibly relevant, and that's the deletion of .zr, which was probably started before ICANN came into being because .zr was no longer on the ISO 3166 list. This deletion was not approved by the ICANN board and seemed to have the blessing of everyone who was involved. So it was not included as a significantly relevant or relevant issue. It's just considered possibly relevant, but it is a deletion. And that sort of wraps it up for the elements that we had a look at a first level. I think, as Bill has pointed out, there may be some, I would call, more fundamental issues which cut across, and I think Bill's pointed out on some of these things. I'll be glad to talk to him about it and see how we can present it to the working group so they can consider it. And I'll be glad to take any questions on deletions or the document as a whole. Given I'm slightly vain, I'll take it that I've made such a great presentation that everyone understands it perfectly, as opposed to believing that my voice has actually managed to put everyone firmly asleep.
Oh, we're wide awake.
I thought your mute button was on the whole time, Murray.
So, Mr. Chair, over to you as to how we proceed.
Thanks, Bernie. And I think the document is starting to take a form that is actually quite useful in terms of drawing together into a single document from the research we've done to date and highlighting some of the issues that we need to take forward. So I guess the question in my mind is, you know, where do we go from here in terms of this report? And I guess my suggestion to the work group members would be to review this document again after this introduction from Bernie, and start to get in your own mind a feeling for what is extremely relevant and what's relatively irrelevant, and then prioritizing as to where we should concentrate our efforts in terms of discussion with the CCNSO members. And then perhaps working group members also going back through the individual delegation and redelegation reports and the comparison documents between RFC 1591, ICP-1 and the GATT principles, and making sure that we haven't missed anything of significance. As Bill had just raised, there are other issues. So just sort of performing a checklist to make sure we haven't missed anything that's truly significant. And just wondering if we could have some general discussion about that as a concept. Well, everyone's keen to get into research mode. So if that's the case, perhaps we can dedicate the next meeting in its entirety to actually reviewing the issues that have been raised, along with any new issues that are raised on the list in the interim, and then see whether we can prepare a report for Brussels to raise some of these issues within the CCNSO and start to get the CCNSO feeling as to whether the most relevant or issues are of sufficient concern to consider a PDP, or whether they're of sufficient trivialness to ignore. By the silence of this group.
Well, I think we all think that's a great idea. It would be nice to have a report and actually get people sort of digging into the issues.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm not hearing any dissent from that position, so I'll take it the members who are on this call are at least in agreement, and I'll propose that as the way forward. I know on our last couple of calls there was a bit of resistance to the idea of trying to produce a report that encapsulated all three areas of delegations, redelegations and retirement. I just wonder, I think, Bill, you're possibly the only one who was on those calls that's on tonight's call. Can I ask for a review of your feelings having seen this first cut of this document?
I don't know if I'm on mute or not. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I never know when I push the mute button, then I don't. Yes. Well, my original concerns, apart from my general slow take-up on sudden change in direction, my original concerns were primarily focused on the drafting and presentation process. It appeared to me, I somehow thought that what was being described was that we would just have a single document and it would address all the issues. And so, because these are really separate concepts, in my opinion, especially the one relating to removing domain names from the zone, my feeling is that it's not necessarily true that it would be a good idea to glom it all together in one document. I still feel that. I think that the research is coming together in a really good way, and giving everyone a better picture of what we needed to know in order to start working on a document. And I don't know if there's anything more for me to say or not. I know I've seen Eberhard's statements, and he's basically said, oh, let's go. Let's just go do it the way Keith has suggested. I can't read Eberhard's mind. I'm not sure if anybody can. But it seems that he has removed his objection, and I'm not sure if there were any other statements of concern.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
Keith, this is Bart.
Yes, Bart.
If you look at, say, maybe this addresses some of Bill's concern. If you look at the proposal from Bernie and myself, is that, say, the Brussels meeting is not to come up with a final report on any of these issues. It is merely proposed to check, say, whether the issues the working group has identified are shared by the community as well. So it's more a say, when the working group feels comfortable with these, with the issues they've identified, it's a building as a check whether or not the community feels the same way.
Sure, and in fact, I'd like to do more than that in terms of getting the CCNFA members to start commenting on not just feeling the same way, but participating in discussions on what are of significant priority, or what are of significant concern. What issues arising out of this first report are of significant concern, because then I think we need to go into a next stage of documentation to have a detailed discussion on items of significant concern that could lead to a PDP. We don't want people just saying, well, yeah, we've got to go down a certain path. I think we need to have them well prepared and our documentation in good order for that to happen. So, it's only the next stage. It's certainly not the end of this working group, I don't think, for quite some time. So, okay, any other comments or discussions? If not, I think we have a 2-week break until the 6th of May for our next conference call. So I'll ask again if the working group members could review this document again in light of Bernie's walking through of the document, and then compare it to the research documents we've had to date and spot the gaps in terms of is there anything missing that should be included in this report, and then starting to make individual assessments on the level of priority and seriousness attached to the individual issues raised within this report.
And Keith, say, what probably makes it easier as we run through the Adobe Connect trainings, or some of us, is we might want to use Adobe Connect the next time.
I think that's a very good idea, but I'm looking forward to the trialing of it next week, and if it works satisfactorily, then I think as we get into more detailed drafting of a document towards Brussels, then Adobe Connect will be very helpful along that path. So I would anticipate that for the 6th May meeting we could well be using Adobe Connect to support the drafting process. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, it's about 2:58, unless there's anything else, I'll thank you all for your attendance and talk to you all again, I hope, on the 6th of May.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.